Mulkraj Anand as a novelist. Heading: Anand's place. Anand is one of the major novelists of Indo-Anglian fiction today. He may not have the philosophic depth of Raja Rao and wit and humor of R. K. Narayan, yet as a novelist of the child life and the underdog, his place is supreme. Like R. K. Narayan, he too has shown stamina and stern consistency and talent. He has now, to his credit, a corpus of creative fiction of sufficient bulk and quality to merit serious study. His first five novels appeared in the following sequence: Untouchable 1935, Coolie 1936, Two Leaves and a Bud 1397, The Village 1939, and Across the Black Waters 1940. There are, however, several novels and collections of short stories to his credit: The Sword and the Sickle, The Barber's Trade Union, The Tractor and the Corn Goddess, Seven Summers, Private Life of an Indian Prince, and Morning Face. In his novels, for the first time, the Indian people had been clearly and intimately described with unflinching realism and deep understanding, and the exploiters, whether imperialist or feudalist, exposed with uncompromising truth. Saroj Govazi, Introduction to Private Life of an Indian Prince. Anand's place may not be near Tagore, but he is certainly the Munshi Premchand of Anglo-Indian fiction. Much of his fictional work can be compared with that of Charles Dickens. K.R.S. Iyengar says, "As a novelist, Anand has been an effective almost as Dickens himself." Like Dickens' novels, his novels also offer reformatory zeal, propaganda, blend of humor and pathos, depiction of child life, union of experience and imagination. Next heading: Influences on Anand. Though an original writer, Mulkraj Anand has been influenced by writers such as Tagore, Bankim Chandra, Sharat Chandra, Munshi Premchand, Gandhi, Urdu writer Ratan Nath Sarsar, Muhammad Iqbal, Bhai Veer Singh, ancient Indian fable of the Panchatantra, Punjabi folk tales from the East. The Western writers who have influenced Anand are Gorky, Tolstoy, Victor Hugo, James Joyce, Dostoevsky, and Virginia Woolf. Many of these taught him the art of plot construction and perfected his craftsmanship. They also sharpened his appetite for realism and strengthened his humanism. The handling of the material of his famous novel Private Life of Indian Prince was influenced by Tolstoy and Dostoevsky. Next heading: Anand's theory of novel. Anand became a novelist with a mission, and his theory of the novel is naturally in line with his commitment to his creed. Explaining his choice of this form in preference to others, Anand says, "The form of creative writing, which is the novel, came to me much more naturally than any other form, because through this I could live through the experiences of other people and realize what silent passions burst in their hearts, what immediate and ultimate sorrows possess them, where they want to go, and how they grapple in their ways with their destinies." Apology for heroism. To Anand, thus the novel is more and more a weapon of humanism. He, however, says, "The novel states the problems of man's destiny, it does not solve them as did the old epic and bardic recital, but it can focus attention on the real drama of the body soul, the truth of life with all its suffering and its mightiness, which may resurrect genuine humanity through the writer's ability to bear the yoke of pity. Though a committed novelist, Anand does not believe in sacrificing the formal values of fiction. To him, the novel is a form which has its own integral pattern. He does not believe that a novel can be a piece of pure philosophy, nor does he believe that it can become a piece of propaganda, sacrificing all its formal values. Next heading, Anand's humanism. Anand's novels are remarkable for their humanism. Deep down in him, there is the faith that man is by nature lovely and that all his errors and sins, failures are but dust and mud sticking on the outside. They may be shaken off in a moment and man reinstated in his native glory. Qazi Abdul Wadud, Contemporary Indian Literature, page 25. In his novels, Dr. Anand combines Tagore's humanism, Bunkim's romanticism, Premchand's sympathy for the poor and afflicted, and Sharad Chandra's boundless human sympathy. The theme of his work is the whole man and the whole gamut of human relationship. Mulk Raj believes that man is the master of his destiny. So he rejects fatalism. That is why he condemns all obstacles which come in the way of man's happiness and comfort, such as fascism, feudalism, imperialism, caste and creed, exploitation and poverty. He says that all people must have liberty and equality. Next heading, Anand's realism. Mulk Raj Anand deserves a distinct place because of his realism. In the words of Iyengar, for all their naturalistic fervor, Bankim Chandra's novels were but romances distantly imitative of Scott with a historical or mystical slant. Tagore was chiefly interested in the upper and middle classes and Sharad Chandra in the lower middle classes, and Munshi Premchand chose his themes from the peasantry and humble folk of Uttar Pradesh. None of them cared to produce realistic or naturalistic fiction after the manner of a Balzac or a Zola. It was Anand's aim to stray lower still than even Sharad Chandra or Premchand, to show to the West that there was more in the Orient that could be inferred from Omar Khayyam, Li Po, Tagore or Kipling. And so he described a waif like Munnu in Coolie, an untouchable like Bakha, an indentured laborer like Gangu, and set them right at the center of the scheme of cruelty and exploitation that held India in its vicious grip. Again, to quote Dr. Iyengar, there is no doubt that he has drawn upon what he had seen and heard as a boy, for there is a photographic fidelity about the picture that convinces at once, though it also overwhelms us, but by its cumulative ferocity and force of detail. Life in the town and cantonment, the colors and the smells, the chants and the noises, the filth and the cruelty, the kindness and the humanity, the shifting scenes in the temple, the marketplace and playground, the quiet of the hillside, the stir at public meetings, all are evoked with an uncanny accuracy, or that untouchable strikes us as the picture of a descendant and perverted orthodoxy. as a novelist, addressing himself to the task of exposing certain evils. Anand, it must be conceded, has been as effective almost as Dickens himself. Anand is a minute observer of life, society, and people. He does not leave even the ugliest and most unpalatable situations aside. Everything, latrines, dirt, squalor, beggars, poverty, disease, and prostitution, is beautifully described in his novels. He sees both the seamy and ugly sides of life and portray them realistically. His is a social realism. Professor Nayak rightly says realism has always been Anand's forte. But in Two Leaves and a Bud, his realism attains an added dimension since his milieu here is visualized not only with his usual verisimilitude but also with an imagination steered by the countryside setting of the novel. Poetic realism is also a feature of his novel The Death of Hero, which has Kashmir as its backdrop. Anand's stories seem to be like life, so do his characters. In his dialogues and backgrounds also, there is a deep current of realism. Many a time, his realism becomes stark and naturalistic. Next heading, as a champion of truth. Anand as a novelist is the champion of truth. His first three novels, Untouchable, Coolie, Two Leaves and a Bud, as they appeared were like so many packets of dynamite. They enraged the diehard. They ruffled the bureaucracy. One of them, Two Leaves and a Bud, had to be withdrawn from circulation in England on the threat of prosecution as an obscene book. All three are banned by the government of India. During Anand's occasional visits to India, he was pestered by the attentions of the CID and Bolshevik was hurled at him as if it explained the explosive contents of his novels. The novels were explosive only because truth is explosive at times and the open expression of the truth can be an incitement and a rebellion. Probing the hidden nucleus of exploitation, Anand released chain reactions of terrific urgency. And for a time, he came to be identified in literature with the same spirit that in politics, in the person of Jawaharlal Nehru, had thundered in 1929 at the Lahore Congress, Long Live the Revolution, Dr. Iyengar. Next heading, as a champion of the underdog. Dr. Anand is the champion of the underdog. He is a crusader against social distinctions and man-made barriers. He is intolerant of injustice and equality. He is a novelist with an inherent social purpose. His main aim is to expose the follies and affectations of the privileged classes, priests, moneylenders, businessmen, tea planters, and British rulers. He also contemns the superstitions and narrow outlook of the underdog who have grown apathetic even to their own predicament due to the ductile and humble subjugation of centuries. Each one of his novels deals with social problems. His first novel, Untouchable, deals with the problem of untouchability and injustice. The novelist ruthlessly condemns the man-made barrier between the caste Hindus and the untouchables. Bakha, the main figure in Untouchable, thinks they think we are dirt because we clean their dirt. His main characters are untouchables, coolies, laborers, villagers, and peasants. It is Bakha, a Munnu or a Gangu who wins his and his readers' sympathies. He is thus a proletarian novelist. Next heading, his themes. Anand's themes are socio-economic. As a novelist, he is free from the East-past complex. He does not write about glories of past or the spiritual heritage of India. His themes are the socio-economic problems of contemporary India. He is essentially confronted between tradition and modernity, but his bias is for modernity. The subjects of his novels are untouchability, exploitation, poverty and wretchedness, labor problem, hunger, religious and narrow fanaticism, condition of woman, economic insecurity, etc. His novels focus attention on the basic conditions in which man is living. Each one of his novels deals with a social problem. His first novel, Untouchable, deals with the problem of untouchability and social injustice. The novelist ruthlessly condemns the man-made barriers between the caste Hindus and the untouchables. Bakha, the main character in Untouchable, thinks they think we are dirt because we clean their dirt. Dr. Anand is not merely content to state the problems, but he also suggests their solution. The introduction of the flush system can wipe out the taint of untouchability. Kuli deals with labor problem of textile mills and pitiable conditions of domestic servants. The village discusses the problem of abject poverty and indebtedness. The problem of the exploitation of indentured laborer in tea plantations and the high-handedness and injustice of the white ruling class is discussed in Two Leaves and a Bud. The Big Hurt is concerned with the problem of the introduction of machines and consequent unemployment. Simple, innocent, and novel human beings, usually called the underdog, are enmeshed in soulless, listless, mindless, and ruthless social forces. They are crushed under them. His problems attain universal significance because of artistic manipulation of his subject. Lech Lidze observes, "It is thus that Anand interprets Indian material in terms of a new universalism and combines all that is best in both East and West. And so there are in his work elements of mature poetry, breadth of compassion, irony and serenity, a wealth of varying planes of perception which Prem Chand could not encompass." Anand's European view, says Lidze, gave him strong sense of the general contours of human conflicts and revolutions. His Indian sensibility enabled him to express this general scheme of movement without losing his wholehearted sympathy with people, as they were people with a long, rich tradition. Next heading, Union of Experience and Imagination. Anand's novels are born of the union of his experience and his imagination. Just as Sir Walter Scott wrote about the life of Scotland in his Waverley novels and Hardy about the peasant's life in Dorsetshire in his Wessex novels, Mulkraj Anand writes about the sorrows and sufferings of the underdog in Convention Ridden Punjab of pre-independence days. His creative gift is exhibited at its best when he writes about the life in rural Punjab. Anand himself says in his preface to Two Leaves and a Bud, "The world I knew best was the microcosm of the peasants and outcasts and soldiers and working people. Of course, I am of my time and the atmosphere of the 30s with its hangover from crisis influenced me most strongly, but contrary to superficial allegations, there was not such self-conscious proletarianism in my attitude as there was in many of the middle-class writers of Western Europe, simply for the reasons that I was son of a coppersmith turned soldier and of a peasant mother, and could not and could have written only of the lives I know most intimately. In so far, however, as my work broke new ground and represented a departure from the tradition of previous Indian fiction, where the pariah and bottom dogs had not been allowed to enter the sacred precincts of the novel in all their reality, it seemed to become significant and drew the attention of critics, particularly in Europe, which only knew Omar Khayyam, Li Po, and Tagore, but very little or nothing about the sordid and colorful lives of the millions of Asia. Next heading, his art of plot construction. The plots of Mulk Raj Anand's novels are governed not by an interplay of circumstances and character, but by his zeal for a depiction of the social reality. He is more of an angry social reformer than a past master in the expert handling of plot. His plots, by and large, lack organic unity. He picks up a character and incident by incident builds up a background, and gradually the character becomes alive and begins to live and breathe under his expert handling. Details are piled up upon details, minute structures and suggestions are fully exploited to throw the characters in proper relief. He is not a novelist of situations, but of characters and of social reality. Next heading, his art of characterization. It is not much as a builder of plots, but as a delineator and creator of characters that Anand will be remembered most. His Munnu, Bakha and Gangu have become universalized figures. His main figures are as alive and immortal as those of Dickens, Hardy and Munshi Premchand. Broadly speaking, his characters can be divided into three types: the sufferers, the oppressors and the good man. There is a great variety of characters in his novels. He covers practically the entire social gamut, from the Maharaja to the mendicant, from the Anglo-Indian to the untouchable. In his pages, we meet nabobs, landlords and their minions, the entire army hierarchy and different types of soldiers, policemen, lawyers, politicians, revolutionaries, priests, teachers, merchants, contractors, money lenders, clerks, factory workers, coolies, sweepers, washermen, cobblers, barbers, carpenters, fruit vendors, farmers, coppersmiths, circuswalas, and what not. Anand is an expert in portraying children, but his women play only minor and subordinate roles in comparison to men. He has a few heroines. His heroes and heroines are real people. He himself remarked, "All these heroes, as the other men and women who had emerged in my novels and short stories, were dear to me because they were the reflections of the real people I had known during my childhood and youth." Next heading, autobiographical element in his novels. There is a powerful undercurrent of autobiographical element in Dr. Anand's novels. The recurring description of life in Indian cantonments and villages and the man and woman who emerge in his novels are the reflections of real situations and real people he had known during his childhood and youth. On his return to India in 1945, Anand fell in love with a hill woman. In order to marry her, he divorced his wife Kathleen Wayne Gelder in 1948. He found that the hill woman had fallen in love with a Frenchman with whom she had left for Paris. He suffered a nervous breakdown, and he expressed his anguish in the form of Private Life of an Indian Prince. The characters in this novel bear a close resemblance with the novelist, his English wife, and the clever hill woman. Dr. Shankar is modeled on Professor Manmohan, a liberal gentleman who was a private secretary to a Maharaja. But there is much of Anand in Dr. Shankar as in the Prince, for Dr. Shankar is the rational side of the author, analyzing the irrational side as seen in Vicky. Ganga Dasi has her origin in the hill woman who initiated Anand's divorce. Maharani Indira bears some relation to Kathleen Wayne Gelder. Anand used to tell her, if ever I were dying, I am sure you would come to nurse me. In the novel, Maharani Indira goes to look after her husband when he is sick. Next heading, a variety of moods. We find in Anand's novels a variety of moods, a veritable feast of satire, humor, irony, pathos, tragedy and farce. His satire is aimed at social evils and society rather than at individuals. For example, through Pandit Kalinath in Untouchable, who tries to molest Mohini, and a sadhu in Kuli, who cunningly seduces a woman, Anand tries to expose the hypocrisy of the religious impostors. Anand arouses pity by describing the miseries, poverty and exploitation of the poor and the underdogs. His pathos, however, is blended with humor. The visit of Mr. England in Kuli, the official welcome accorded to Mr. and Mrs. Long by Sardar Bahadur Harbans Singh in Across the Black Waters, Bakha's obsession for English dress and manners, and the behavior of Mrs. Hutchinson are not only humorous but also farcical. Next heading, other notable marks. As a writer of fiction, Anand's notable marks are vitality and a keen sense of actuality. He is a veritable Dickens for describing the iniquities and idiosyncrasies in the current human situation with candor as well as accuracy. Of Anand's early novels, at least it can be said that they come fresh from contact with the flesh and blood of everyday existence. He has no laborious psychological or ideological preoccupations, and he is content to let his characters live and speak and act. In his work, there are no merely sentimental portraits, and generally he presents his characters with a lively curiosity and also a deep compassion. Some of his English characters, no doubt, are no more than caricatures, but then there are others whose words ring true and whose actions seem natural. The titles of his early novels, Untouchable, Kuli, Village, seem to emphasize the universal as against the particular, as if Bakha is all untouchables, Munu is all coolies. However, being a true artist, Anand makes the individual Bakha or Munu assert his uniqueness without quite ceasing to be universal. There is a case and implied point of view, but the novel is more than a case, for it is humanity that finally trumps. The language too, with its load of sour words and expressions, literally translated from the vernacular idiom. For example, rape sister, rape mothers, rapers of your daughters, the illegal begotten sons of a witch, where have you died? Devil without horns, eater of masters, etc. Often produced a code or ludicrous effect. On the other hand, the very frequency of their occurrence tends to blunt the edges of their literal meaning and make them sound, as such sure words must, empty and almost innocuous. As a writer, Anand is often undistinguished and seems to be too much in a hurry, but the vitality of his creations, the variegated richness of his total comprehension, and the purposive energy of his narratives carry all before them. It is also worthy of mention that Anand is a committed writer. Next heading, language and style. Dr. Anand's language is a fine specimen of Indian English. He once wrote, "I found while writing spontaneously that I was always translating dialogue from the original Punjabi into English." He freely uses the English translation of Indian abusive expressions in his novels. Such abusive expressions as "son of a pig," "oh, oh, oh, scoundrel of a sweeper's son," etc., abound in Untouchable and many other novels. When he describes typical Indian scenes, situations, and characters which do not occur in English life and for which the English language has no adequate expressions, he uses a language which is the literal translation of Indian utterance and experiences. The hue and cry that Gulabo raises at the sight of Sohini, Bakas' sister, is an example of Anand's successful use of Indian English. "Ari, Ari, Beach, do you take me for a buffoon? What are you laughing at, slut? Aren't you ashamed of showing your teeth to me in the presence of man, you prostitute?" shouted Gulabo, and she looked towards the old man and the little boy who were of the company. Dr. Anand uses highly polished and refined language, sometimes tinged with emotions, when he describes the beauty or dignity of his characters and when he champions the cause of the underdog. Describing Sohini's fascinating figure, he writes, "She has a sylph-like form, not thin but full-bodied within the limits of her graceful frame, well-rounded on the lips, with an arched narrow waist from which descended the folds of her trouser, and above which were her full round globular breasts, jerking slightly for lack of a bodice under her transparent muslin shirt." His English characters speak their own unadulterated variety. Anand distinguishes between Babu, King Emperor's English, and Indian English. He uses a great deal of Indianisms. When the springs of his emotions are deeply touched, the torrent of his words is alight with the fire of imagination. He is sometimes even tempted to lapse into the pseudo-poetic, as for instance when he tells us vaguely that Leela was shy like the dawn on some hill of mystery. Two Leaves and a Bud, page 145. His most vivid images are those which express in homely colors the perceptions of his peasants. For example, Lalu sailing down the placid Ganga finds the river like a pregnant woman swollen with content. The Sword and the Sickle, page 163, and Munnu thinks that the taste of the fresh cotton thread in the factory is sickening like bile in the mouth, Kuli, page 179. Next heading, Anand's contribution. Anand is a great pioneer in the domain of Indo-Anglian fiction, who contributed new technique, new matter, new approach, and a new style. He interprets Indian material in terms of a new universalism. In the words of Lidsey, he combines all that is best in both East and West. And so there are in his work elements of mature poetry, breadth of compression, irony and serenity, a wealth of varying planes of perception which Premchand could not encompass. Anand is free from East-West complex. He touches new themes, untouchability, untouchable, poverty, hunger and exploitation, coolie, labor problem, two leaves and a bud, village peasantry, the village trilogy are the themes which form the matrix of his plot. It is he who first of all asks through English the question of need in polite literature. He also infuses a note of high seriousness in Anglo-Indian fiction. He has made common men his heroes. It is he who inaugurated the literature of the oppressed. To make the sweeper the hero of his novel was a revolutionary departure for an Indian writer of the 1930s, Nayak. Next heading, his shortcomings. Anand is not a perfect writer. He has his limitations too. There is much of social concern, propaganda in his novels. He is a somewhat committed writer. Many a time he has sacrificed art for the sake of his mission. There is repetition of characters in his novels. There is little variety. He does not invent new characters but repeats them under different names and situations. Bhikkhu of the road is the Bakha of Untouchable. The three villains, the priest, the moneylender and the landlord, often occur in his novels. His woman characters are very weak. Hardly there is any woman character of the stature of a heroine. A far more serious charge against Anand, says Professor M.K. Nayak, would be that his art does not show any appreciable development over a long period of 35 years. His plots are generally loose and inorganic. In Kuli, the plot is devoid of tightness and cohesion of Untouchable. Kuli should have ended in Bombay, but the novelist was interested in showing the tragic sequel to capitalistic exploitation. The motive of reform and a desire for painting life certainly affects Anand's overall craftsmanship. The whole of his characterization is weak from many points of view. First of all, it is melodramatic. His characters are either good or bad. Secondly, his main figures fail to become fully rounded characters and become his mouthpieces. Thirdly, Anand's characters are lonely misfits, not in the tradition of modern European protagonist of fiction, whose loneliness is a form of intellectual alienation, but lonely because they do not rise out of the soil they inhabit, because Anand has stuffed them with his own beliefs. They lack the necessary background, are thereby rootless, and appear somewhat unreal. Critics like Professor C. D. Narasimha and Saroj Kowarzi have refuted the charge of propaganda against Mulk Raj Anand. Yet it cannot be denied that there is some hidden want in Dr. Anand. The angry man is so obsessed with the idea of class exploitation, capitalistic injustice to the poor and erstwhile imperialistic domination by the British that very often his novels become political tracts with their own red or pink to grind. The topic Anand as Mulk Raj Anand as a novelist is over.